we need to free ourselves, because so many of us do so much in a performative way to earn God's love. That is a lie. Yeah.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Estabrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 16.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love as we continue and conclude and celebrate the Christmas season. Can you believe it? Wow. As we continue to lean into a posture of wonder and awe and anticipation of the coming Messiah, the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to us. And I can't help but smile when I say those things. We're so glad you have joined us for this conclusion of our Advent series as we have discussed hope, peace, and joy. And today is all about love. And Christ Emmanuel, God with us. And who better to spend the final Advent season or time with me is with you. Anne Voskamp, New York Times best-selling author, speaker, and blogger. Welcome, and we're very excited to hear your teaching soon. Sharon Emhart, justice advocate, podcaster, international speaker, and director of Women Speakers Collective. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Great to have you. Bishop Jenny Anderson, rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well,
lovely to be here.
Thank you. And finally, Nicole Langman, therapist, author, and speaker. Welcome. Now, we discussed joy last week. What's one quick learning, aha moment, that you took away from our joy discussion? I know you can flip into your notes, but what's something that you took away?
It's not based on our circumstances. Yeah. That's happiness. Right. Happiness comes and goes. It's an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. But joy is something external to us, something that we find in the child.
Oh, that we find in the child.
Mm. Beautiful. I love that.
Joy.
I love C.S. Lewis's quote that joy is a taste of heaven. It's the what did he say fully about that?
Like a foretaste.
Joy is the serious business of heaven.
Yes, the serious business of heaven.
That's wonderful. Really like that. Yeah. Foretaste, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's good.
I love that joy changes us within, even though our externals may not change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it shifts posture. It allows us to see the sacredness and the mundane, to find the beauty and the glimpses of God. Mm-hmm. And so we lean, we mingle with awe.
That's
I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
To see joy.
I think you also said that comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes. Comparison kills calling.
Kills calling and steals joy.
Basically, boo comparison.
Yeah, down with comparison. Up with joy.
Yeah, we can be like the shepherds who sit in the dark, looking for the shimmers of the light of the stars, things we can be grateful for. And when in the posture of joyfulness for the things we're grateful for, we start to move closer to the light. So,
And I love the discussion too in joy where we said, you know, the shepherd,
yeah,
the outsider, the forgotten, the marginalized, the othered. And then the angels show up and say, I bring you this great news.
Very personal.
And I love that. And I think that should be a place where we can start with joy to say, God knows me. I am not forgotten. Yeah. He sees me and he will reveal himself to me. Even when I'm in the dark, living with the sheep, doing what I'm doing. I think that should bring us some great joy and comfort in knowing that. Amen. Again, I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, download, please, our free See Hear Love Advent Bible study guide on our website. And you can follow along with our conversation. Anne, are you ready? This is it. This is love has come. Love is coming. Love has come. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to hear your teaching about love and the Christ kind.
What a journey we all have been on the last several weeks through Advent. Not just looking back at his first coming, but anticipating his second coming. So today, we still our hearts and enter into the presence of Jesus, who is always with us as we light the hope candle. He is our hope. As we light the peace candle, peace is not a place we strive to arrive at, but a person we encounter. As we light the joy candle, that Jesus, the Savior, has come and saw worth in us to rescue us. And finally, love. Jesus, love come down. We light that Christ candle. Christ who encapsulates and is hope, peace, joy, love.
Yes.
Thank you, Cheryl. What a transformational Advent journey we've been on, moving from a swirling holiday to a space of stillness, to look for the sacred moments and encounter with Jesus. He isn't just loving today as we light that love candle. He is love himself. He is the embodiment of the wholeness of love. In this Advent, we've been on a journey through the Psalms. What an interesting way to walk through Advent. Why the Psalms? Well, the Psalms are the songs of God's people. Mm-hmm. The Psalms actually ended up being Jesus' own prayer book. Mm-hmm. And for us as the people of God, we turn to the Psalms because the Psalms gives language to our heart, to our grief, to our lament, to our waiting, to our whys, and gives us language so that when we sit in this space of Advent, when we turn to the Psalms, so we've been downloading the study guide, going through each day, walking through the Psalms. These are the prayers that have been prayed for centuries. Jesus prayed these prayers. So if we could turn today to Psalms 103, and we're going to read Psalms 103, 8 to 12. And we read, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." This psalm, Psalms 103, it is a deliberate recall back to Moses and the Exodus. It's actually an echo of the Sinai Creed of Exodus 34:6, in which we also read about the character of God, that God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. We actually hear this Sinai Creed is repeated throughout the Old Testament. Numbers 14:18, Nehemiah 9:17, Joel 2:13, Jonah 4:2, and several times through the Psalms, because God wants us to understand who he is, the characteristic of God. Mm-hmm. So we see that he is what? We can underline it. He is compassionate. Mm-hmm. Compassionate meaning passionate, which literally means suffer. He co-suffers with us. So in the midst of your Advent, when you're hurting, Jesus is the compassionate one who is co-suffering with you. He is gracious. What does that mean? We look to the cross and we see this is a grace that covers all the brokenness in the world, so that, as Tolkien says, all the sad things can become untrue. That's the grace that he offers us at Calvary. He is slow to anger. Sometimes we can have a relationship with God where we feel like, I think he's upset with me.
Right.
I think he's a wrathful God that is angry. We see here that he wants to repeat to us over and over and over through the Old Testament, he's slow to anger. And then finally, he is a God abounding in love. That word love in the Hebrew is hesed. H-E-S-E-D. And it's used actually 250 times in Scripture. And that some theologians have suggested that it might be the most important word in all of the Old Testament. Hesed, it means, we translate it oftentimes as the steadfast loving kindness of the Lord. But when we look at what hesed means, loving kindness was a word that the Bible translators had to come up with to try to translate this word hesed, which means a forever covenantal, always unconditionally, unwaveringly loyal, kind love, of inseparable bonding, of eternal attachment. That's what this hesed love is. It's attachment love. It's bonding love. Hesed is an entirely singular kind of love that says you are chosen because God simply and forever chooses to perfectly hesed attach himself to you. You are not merely endured. You are not hardly tolerated. You are not barely accepted. But you, your very being, your actual presence, your whole soul, all of you, your whole story is that you are wanted, that you are picked, that you are chosen, delighted in, special, simply because you exist. Wow. Wow. God chooses to love you simply because he chooses you to love.
Beautiful.
God wants to be with you because he wants to be with you, not because you've done anything, performed anything, accomplished anything. His hesed love for you is because of this perfect circular logic of love. He loves you because he loves you. He bound himself to you at the cross of Calvary, making his heart captive to your heart, to liberate you through the gift of his sacrificial love at the cross of Calvary. So who is this love who comes down to us? Isaiah 7:14. We read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel," God with us. When we sit with this and we realize who this character of this God is, who comes down to us, who says he's Emmanuel, God with us, what comes up for us in the midst of our very gritty, messy Advents?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're all like, yes, yeah, and okay. Yeah.
I think one of the things I think of when you say love comes down and comes and is with us is that means that God's going to see all the parts of me that I try to hide from everybody else. I'm trying to hide from everybody in the studio, everybody here. I don't want that even my husband doesn't know, right? But that God knows them and yet still delights
still,
in me.
Yes.
Yeah. Still chooses to love me in the midst of that. Which
I think sometimes we're so concerned that he will see all of us, all the messy parts.
That's right.
We withdraw.
That's right.
As opposed to understanding he sees all of the parts and loves all of messy parts.
And that's hard for us to comprehend.
Yes.
Because so much of our relations are transactional or I will love you if you love me this way. I will be your partner and be with you if you love me this way, if you are this way with me. That's a hard for, I think, many of us to get, that we can just come as ourselves and God loves us.
All of the parts of us.
All of the parts.
Yeah.
That is love.
Yeah, and I, you know, this idea that love is an action word. And since God created love, he knows how to do love. And models that for us in his coming at Christmas and his dying on the cross and coming again. And so that love is an action word, how he pursues us and rescues us.
And I think that's a striking part. We think, well, what is the action of love then? And we look at John 3:16. For God so loved who? The world that he
gave
himself. Love lives given. What does that look for us at Christmas time?
I'm also reminded that the moments that I say that God feels far or I feel separated from God is actually an outright lie. It's an untruth because you reminded us that chesed is the inseparable bonding of eternal attachment. We are the ones who move and shift and change and go up and down with every season of life. God is forever close. The Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. So God is forever near. What a reminder for someone, for all of us today, that we're saying, I feel far from God. No, we've moved, maybe in our hearts, but God is as close as our breath. Always.
Why do you think we retreat and withdraw? Why is it hard to receive a chesed kind of love?
Well, sometimes I think it's that shame. We don't believe that God could actually know everything and still delight in me. And that shame just, you know, whereas Jesus just pulls us the other way. I think of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus is like, no, come to me, right? So I think that's one of the things that can pull us away is not believing that God actually counts no record of wrongs.
Right.
This incredible promise in Corinthians.
that when he goes to the cross,
that's right,
his love covers over all the things that we're ashamed of and gives us the gift of his perfect rightness.
Right.
I think what was also profound, Anne, is reminding us who God is. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Again, our experiences as we share stories here, we haven't had a lot of examples in our own lives of this consistently all the time. And as far as the East is from the West, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We do not need to be bound by shame or fear or anger and control, right? I think that this is a movement toward love, and why not? When there is a God who is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
What a gift that our sin is removed, not just a few inches from us, but as far as the East is from the West. An incalculable distance. We want a gift at Christmas, but maybe the greatest gift is that something has been taken away. Our sin has been taken away, an incalculable distance from us. That is the gift we all desperately, direly need. And love comes down to give us that at Christmas.
I'm excited for the person who has stumbled into this show. Who has gone through a hard season and has said this question, like maybe we all have, if we're honest. Where was God? Where was God when? Well, you just said that compassionate or compassion means that, in broken down, that he co-suffers.
That was so good.
Oh, that's powerful.
That he sits with us in the midst of our pain and grief. I think about even my own story and how painful and dark and broken the beginning of my life was and what broke through for me, guys, because I lived in a prison of where was God, is understanding that God was right there. Like, I just want to hold it together, suffering, crying, weeping, heartbreaking as my heart breaks, right there. And I just feel like that's for someone today, that God is right with you in the midst of your pain and grief, not waiting for you to come out and have it all shiny, right in the messy middle.
And that's and that's love.
And that is love.
That is Emmanuel, to co-suffer Emmanuel with us. But again, I think in culture, we think love is different. It's the feeling, it's the the fun butterflies and all that. And then when that goes, we're like, oh, well, I don't love this person, or that, you know, love, I didn't experience love. But when we look at co-suffering, somebody chooses to co-suffer and covenantal.
Unwavering, loyal love for
us. Beautiful.
Yes.
And I loved that sort of reflection of the Hesed love. And I think then in the John 16, the word love here will be agape love, right? The self-sacrificing love, which, that's like, you know, for Christians, love is always cruciform. It's always cross-shaped, right? Which you've been talking about, Anne. And then to build on what you were saying, Cheryl, is that that agape love, that self-sacrificial love, the kind of it's not about you love, it's about other people, that's the foundation for all the other loves in our lives, for our friendship love, for our romantic love, right? That, but the agape love is the love out of which all the other ones can flow in a healthy way, in a giving way.
And I think sometimes we think culture can tell us love means that I agree with you. Jesus says that he is love. And he says love is cruciform. Love lays down our life for your friend. So then love isn't about agreement. Love is about how will I sacrifice for you? How will I live given for you? So at Christmas, maybe there's someone we don't agree with. How do we live as a gift to that person? How do we sacrifice and live given to that person so that cruciform love, that agape love, moves on out into the world?
That's right. Wow, that sacrificial love.
Yes.
And I think it's a really important question. And I'm as you're speaking, Anne, I'm thinking about the people who have been harmed in love. And I work with a lot of women who have really been harmed by parental love, in particular father's love. And we often, we know that we identify God's love often through our closest male figure. And so there's a struggle with a lot of the women that I work with around, well, what does God's love actually look like in real time for me, given that I've been hurt, that I've been betrayed, that I've been abandoned? And then we go back to that. So much of what you said is just, it really is goosebump for me when I think about that covenantal love and that sacrificial love and the committed love. And that we really can't judge God's love based on human experiences, can we? It's such a difference.
Well, and the fact that we often...
Romance movies.
Romance, yes, yeah. No. But the fact that we often find our human relationships painful and inadequate shows us our yearning for the pure love of our true Heavenly Father. Longing. Like, it's a clue to our longing for the love we can only find in our Heavenly Father.
This bonding, attachment love with God, that's a secure love.
Yes.
That his love is unwavering, then I'm secure and I don't have to waver either. I am secure and safe.
Yeah.
God is always, always good, and I am always, always, always loved.
And I'm still, too, as we look at the love candle and Christ candle, the choosing to come to us. Like, we're, Advent has always been, as we've been anticipating the coming of the one of love. But to choose to be with us, that always blows my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not, you know, always the easiest to be with. You can ask my husband, my parents, but, you know, but to be chosen. For someone to see and choose to come. And I think about this all the time with Jesus coming as a vulnerable baby to be with us.
And he doesn't leave us. It's one thing to come. And then we get messy.
And then they leave because it's too hard. It's too hard. I'm going to leave you.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
But Jesus comes and he is Emmanuel, the God who stays with us. And never leaves us, never forsakes us. I don't know of a greater gift.
Oh, Lori, on these. What is going on?
Oh, well, on that note, I think, and maybe we're just going to talk to one another, but our world needs love. And Cheryl, I think that's a song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our world needs love. Love, and if we love. What is our love encouragement, our love blessing to one another, but to a woman that may be struggling with receiving love and understanding love and actually understanding this love of Jesus? What would you say to her?
I think sometimes it's upside down kingdom.
Yeah.
We think that I'm going to sit and wait for someone to love me. And the upside down kingdom is when I realize that love himself has come down to me and stays with me, I start to have new eyes to see people who don't feel chosen, who feel forgotten and overlooked and dismissed. Can I be love and embody that love to them?
Yes.
And then I receive a far greater gift. It is better to give than to receive. And as I live given and give that love, I myself will experience the love that I'm searching for. So can you find somebody who feels on the margins, who feels forgotten? What is Jesus asking? How is Jesus asking you to be loved to that person this week?
Yes. It's a good challenge.
And I think
it's a good challenge.
Seeing the two of you be emotionally vulnerable reminds me that God's love comes in vulnerability, comes in a small baby, right? And so that our vulnerability can be a gift to someone else of saying, you know, I've struggled with shame, or I've tried to hide in the dark, or I've had painful relationships, right, that need to be healed and aren't fully healed yet. And coming to other people in vulnerability can be such a gift because that's how God's love is expressed to us. And we don't need to have it all together to express love to someone. That can be a gift to someone else.
It's so powerful to think about, can my vulnerability be a gift to somebody else? Wow.
Isn't that where connection happens, right? I mean, we know that.
We want intimacy more than anything, and it comes through vulnerability.
Yeah, we want to know that you're real. We want to know that you have sores, that there are some scars there, right? We want that. That matters to us. It helps us connect.
I would say to the woman that is in the darkness that this cruciform-shaped love, this love that has laid down, that has sacrificed so greatly, that is forever giving, this love that is God himself requires nothing of you. This is going to free someone. The moment you wake up every morning, open your eyes and do this. You cannot be loved any more by God. Everything else, my sisters, is bonus. God cannot love you more. He is not more proud of you. It is the max right there. And I think we need to free ourselves because so many of us do so much in a performative way to earn God's love. That is a lie from the pit of, I'm getting a pit of Pentecostal, pit of hell. It is, I'm going to call it
what
it is.
And we've talked about that here, where it's like we have somehow learned that the more productive we are, the more valuable we are to others and to God.
I think to realize... We don't want a Christmas we can buy.
Yes.
We don't want a Christmas we can make. Mm. We don't want a Christmas that we have to perform or produce. Mm. We want a Christmas that we can hold, a Christmas that holds us. A Christmas that whispers Jesus. Mm. And Jesus is the only one who will love us through anything. Yeah. I want a Christmas that I don't have to perform, but his passionate love comes as the gift to me.
Thank you.
This love requires nothing because this love already gave up
everything.
Yeah.
Nicole, do you have any other thoughts before we go into prayer?
Well, I just go back to that performative piece, right? Yes. I think that there is that nature in so many of us.
Yeah.
And so how then do we just refocus on, okay, what is the whole point? And moving away from that performance-based presentation, Christmas, life, whatever it might be.
It's hard for women, I think.
It's hard for us. There's a lot of pressure on us.
A lot of pressure at Christmas to create, curate that space for other people.
And can we be in a space of, I'm going to receive that I'm already loved, regardless of what the Christmas looked like. Love comes down to us and chooses us.
And I would say, before we get to prayer, is that this is a moment, why we did Advent, is to exhale, to take a moment, right, in this season, to say we're going to have these habits of hope, peace, joy, love, Christ, leaning in, listening, reading through, receiving the truth of who Jesus is and why. And I think that's the encouragement to us and to our listeners and to our viewers, you know, who are with us in this. Yes. It is time to get to know the one Emmanuel, God with us, who came for us. Amen. Cheryl, why don't we close up in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray.
Wow.
So God, we thank you that your love is not abstract.
Mm.
We thank you that you are faithful in loving us, that your love is steadfast.
Yes.
Your love is forgiving. It's immeasurable. Yes. Father, it is cross-shaped. Yes. We're so thankful that you co-suffer with us. Yes. You are with us in the midst of our pain, that you are abounding, forever abounding in chesed. And so God, we thank you that we remember today and we hold dear the truth that this love is bound to us eternally. It's an inseparable bond, an eternal attachment of love. Mm-hmm. Father, you are forever near. You are always close. You are always with us. And God, I thank you that you love us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Father, help us to receive this love.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to relax in it, to embrace it, to truly understand we are worthy of it, and not to feel like we need to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you that you are not just loving, but you are love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Fill us with your love so that we can express that love to others, that agape love.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to reflect your love in this Advent and Christmas season. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.